our task of this moment, if I say it in such a way, is being open, loving. And the only hindrance, if we call it that, is our beliefs and attachments about self, other, and all things that grow out of that. We believe often that there are separate, if I use a big word, entities or self or things and based on that we like them, dislike them, want them, don't want them, could be other persons, conditions, circumstances, states of being for ourselves, physical or mental, could even be physical objects of all sorts. We have ideas about their separate being. And I don't mean this in a theoretical, philosophical sense, though that aspect is there too, but as a basis of what we do or don't do. He is so and so. She does such and such. That's all a fiction. It's a fiction that we believe so strongly that we justify actions, feelings, concerns, or let's say it differently, stress, suffering, dissatisfaction, harm, based on those. Meaning the way things are right now, or the way he is right now, that's just unacceptable. Believing that makes him, things, into a solidity, into a thingness, into, if I use a word, selfness, that either should be there, or even I could say, no, that shouldn't be there. But that gives us a basis for generating stress and suffering. I've injured my back. Oh, this shouldn't be like this. Oh, it's not fair. It hurts too much. It's etc., etc. Doing that keeps us from being this, if I say, open moment as it is, as, if I say, arising passing of conditions and circumstances are now, and functioning in a loving way in the midst of this. It doesn't mean that we need to say, oh no, that doesn't exist. I deny, oh, that there's the pain, or deny that he acts in a certain way, or she will want such and such, or that this circumstance appears right now like this. But by holding that as a something with which, to which our reactions are justified, becomes a way to generate stress, dissatisfaction and suffering in our life, and to do things that causes harm to us and others, that keeps us from being this moment, keeps us from being open. Open means this moment can arise and pass without hindrance. And even more, we can respond compassionately and lovingly. Some of you who are doing the class know that this week's questions have to do with those last two words, compassion and loving, but that's your practice opportunity. But in a way, this is always our practice opportunity to notice what we're doing with this present moment. To notice what we're believing about him, her, our self, others, conditions, the flooding, the snow, and we could add the conditions, and how that, holding that ideas without even noticing it sometimes, or noticing it just with our reactions to it, creates difficulties for us. So I've said a few words, like I like to do when in these kinds of circumstances, and then this is an opportunity for us to explore this together. In a way, this is a topic that, what you could say, a lot of what's called Buddhist philosophy deals with. But I don't want to go so much in that direction. I mean, in a sense, this is connected to Abhidharma, Madhyamaka, Nagarjuna, but we don't need to go in the direction of that, but rather in terms of our own practice, clarifying this if there's something to clarify with this, seeing what is skillful in terms of noticing, in terms of being present, in terms of responding in the midst of reactive habits arising. So I'll stop now and see what we might have to say. And if you want to go in another direction, you feel free to do that.
Well,
but you have to speak up so that everyone can hear.
When I was in Dosan with you, I was sharing some blessings, joy that had, you know, rained down on me this week. And then when I came back and I was sitting, I wasn't thinking about this, I wasn't thinking, and it just popped in that the reason that the possibility for these things to rain down on me may have come because I had opened and lovingly accepted something else that's probably going to be happening, and I just, you know, I decided that I was going to be supportive and loving and open to this, and then maybe that, you know, then this other happened, and then it just hit me while I was sitting that there was that. You know, and then you started to talk about it when you sat here, you know. open and loving, yeah.
I mean, I use the word open, and we can get caught in thinking, how should that look? And in a way, we don't have to figure out how to be open, because in a sense, it's another word that describes our nature. It's not something we have to find out how to do. Just like just sitting or sitting doesn't require us to be other than as we are, except that it does require sometimes preliminary steps to allow us to come to being as we are because of habits that hinder that. And it's being able to use what's skillful to allow those habits to, what should I say, open of themselves, or to dissipate, or to be transparent, so that they don't blind us. If, for instance, if we always go around seeing people that we meet as right away comes up, oh, he's going to be such and such, she's going to always do that, then even when we encounter them, it's rare that we actually can encounter them, because our story about them is so solid for us. And therefore, that's anything that comes in through that, if I say it in that kind of way.
Blocks is the word.
Now, and it could be that way for ourselves too. It could be that way when I feel a certain way, when I get caught up, when the thoughts are da-da-da-da, when this is happening, and we can go on from there. Yeah. Debbie?
The difficult practice.
You have to speak up louder.
The difficult practice is to stop and be open when the experience in front of you is painful.
Yes.
And to not expect that because you're practicing being open, everything is going to be not painful, because mm-hmm. you're practicing being open.
Yes.
You're practicing being open to all experiences, and then the really difficult part is to sit there and stop and notice when it's difficult and be open and loving.
Yeah. And being human means pain is part of the package. That's why we have pain receptors, among other things. And we can deaden ourselves so that we don't feel pain, but then what we get is to be dead. That's why we use that word. But at the same time, the ability to notice the pain is the ability to see what's skillful and appropriate in this situation, whether it's to leave the situation, whether there's something to do that alleviates the pain in a skillful, appropriate way, what enables me to embrace this painful moment, and what supports me in being this. We don't have a choice with some of that, because it's part and parcel with being human. Just like part and parcel of being born means going through pain, some sort of painful circumstances, both for the child being born and the mother giving birth. And there are all sorts of things one can do to alleviate some of that. And fortunately for most mothers, after the birth, a short while afterwards, they forget most of the pain. And yet, that's part and parcel of giving birth. And part of parcel of being human means getting sick sometimes, getting old sometimes, getting weak, having pain, etc., etc. And both on a physical and mental level. But because we sit, we can discover that we have more capacity than we think. And our capacity comes in part because we don't have to hold on to the pain as a thing, rather than as seeing it arising, passing as an aspect of this life, and yet not solid and fixed, and therefore not subject to our attachment and reaction to it as solidly and as fixedly as might otherwise be. See, and that alleviates, we could say, stress, suffering, dissatisfaction. That frees us somewhat from the automaticity of reactive habits towards it. And it's always in the specific. You can go in the direction of theory, but theory isn't what's important. What's important is our practice. And even in the simple sitting still, especially as when we start means first 3 weeks, 3 months, 3 years, and ongoing. Physically, we learn that there are times when there's physical pain, and we learn to work with it in a supportive way, in a skillful way. For instance, I'm sitting in a chair now because I injured my back, and I can't sit cross-legged without an extreme amount of pain, which would interfere with being able to sit, being able to talk, being able to do. What's valuable is to see what helps you to notice or be reminded that the ideas of self, of circumstance, beings, and so forth are arising. To notice when it's getting in the way in the reaction. That's important for you to see.
So sometimes people, let's just assume they're suffering a little bit, so strong is their habit of causing suffering with themselves and others, that being with them, opening to them, can only pull you down.
That's right.
And
what, therefore, what's skillful to do in this circumstance for you? See, it's not about fixing them, but seeing, is it skillful to be with them? Do I have a choice? And if I don't, what's skillful to enable me to be in this moment with them together and yet not be overwhelmed by them? Now, if someone has a gun towards you, it's very simple and straightforward. If you have the option, you leave. If you have the option, you do what might reduce their stress and likelihood of using that gun, and so on and so forth. And sometimes it feels like that even though they don't have a physical gun. That's our practice too, of being able to see. But if what we do in the circumstances determined and dictated by our reactive habit, our anger and fear, then those blind us sometimes. Our certainty that they are, and fill in whatever you say about they are, that might hinder our ability to see what our practice in this moment is with them.
So there's this one person at this one pharmacy.
Mm-hmm.
I have strong judgments as soon as I hear their voice, see their face. Because they have a strong habit of, I'll just say it how I feel about it, abusing the system. They come in with an agenda that they're going to manipulate you into helping them, enabling them, abuse the system to the max and make your life difficult while they do it. They go around to all kinds of healthcare professionals successfully doing this. And my reaction is, I am not going to participate in this to the degree I'm able to.
Mm-hmm.
But my reactions to them, my fixed belief that they're a welfare abuser, unscrupulous person, whatever labels I would put, interferes for me possibly being open to them if I have to be the one who helps this person.
Yeah.
So I don't know really how to practice with that.
So, for instance, what you said, as soon as you hear their voice. So in a way, as soon as you hear their voice, that's like the bell that rings here. For a moment, it says, be zazen. Means be present, be breathing, be right here. And then see what... So in a way, it's a reminder. It's a little ding. Okay. To notice about them, because right away that goes off. And to notice that that goes off not out there, but that's ours. That's our reactive habit. Then I don't know what's skillful to do, and I won't say. Because it's a matter of growing out of your being present and your presence practice to see what to do. Now, as you said, it might be that what's most appropriate for you, because you can't handle being with them without getting enraged, is to do something to see that someone else serves them. But let us say there is no someone else. Or maybe what's skillful would be for you to serve them after having begun practice, and treat the serving them as your practice, and keep reminding yourself before you speak with them, just for a half a moment, so it's not artificial and rigid, that, you know, practice. Keep, make an effort to notice the reaction before it comes out of your mouth. And then see what to do. There isn't a formula, you know, despite the fact that they have such and such. You can do A, B, C, and then what? Which is the appropriate skillful one for you, for your practice. And your practice at that moment is the practice of you and them together. So how do you serve them, being as they are, and serve life, being as it is, with them showing up? Despite the fact that you might notice thoughts like, I want to get them out of here, I want to call the police, I want to, whatever else you might have in mind. You know? Yes. And that's difficult, but in a way, that's the opportunity that life is presenting. That ongoing cause and effect, if we say it that way, arising, passing, for whatever reasons, brings together you and them in this place. In a way, they're really a practice friend by giving you the opportunity to do this. Just for a little bit. I mean, it's, you know, it would be more difficult if every person you served was like this for you. But as you say, it's this particular person, you notice a particular reaction. So you have that moment of practice when they appear. Yeah,
I was thinking all along that this Brett, he needs to say thanks for that person to be in his life.
Uh-huh.
Because if you are able to find a skillful means to deal with this person, and all the other like smaller issues could piece of cake. If you look at it that way,
might help. See, in a way, our practice is serving life. Some things, some circumstances, some conditions we don't want to serve. We don't want them to be in our life. And sometimes we have choices, and sometimes we don't have choices. I don't know anyone that wants pain. Well, no, I shouldn't. Most people don't want pain as in their life. Nevertheless, most people have times when pain, physical, emotional, all the other ways you want to talk about pain, appears in life. So we get to practice, serve pain. That doesn't mean indulge it or say, oh yeah, this, etc., etc. Those are just more ideas to play with it, as opposed to taking care of being this moment. And that's the hardest thing for all of us. And yet it's the most natural.
Talk about making choices. For a good portion of my life, I spent a lot of energy in an attempt to avoid the unavoidable in a lot of different ways. Pain, sadness, fear. I spent a lot of energy. And thinking that I had a choice about what came up and that I could control that. And if I only lived my life a certain way or did certain things or then I could control all those things. And one of the subtleties of practice that I find now is knowing where choices really are. And if you can see clearly when a choice is actually there to be made, then it's much easier to make a skillful decision about it and thereby make a skillful effort. Doing what's appropriate in that moment. But it's difficult for me still to know when that point is, when there really is a choice to be made, something that I can affect positively.
It's useful to notice even states of being that we label in a certain way that we, for instance, we try to avoid feeling foolish, being stupid, being taken advantage of. I just picked three. You could add lots of other permutations and combinations and ways of articulating that. we turn those into states of being. Oh, I'm being foolish. And that becomes, takes on a solidity and a basis of reacting to so-called self and other in all sorts of ways, and doing things, or beating ourselves up for being foolish, or for being taken advantage of, or making a bad choice, or, and over we can come back to it and react to it and create suffering, stress around it, and therefore miss the joyfulness, the joyousness, the happiness of life, because we want to pay attention to how could I have been so, and you fill in whatever the so that quote I should not be, much less how could she or he be so, and you fill in whatever the so that he or she is. That's more of the exactly what we started with. And it doesn't require you to say, no, he's not really that. That's just a flip side of it. That's another story. Existence and non-existence, if I use more philosophical, theoretical terms, are both not so. Or are both, if I use other words, empty. But we need to be clear that empty isn't empty. So empty is empty of emptiness, therefore form is empty, empty is form. But again, that's a little theoretical and we could leave that aside for now. Okay, if there's nothing else, thank you all for coming and for being here and for partaking in this. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
You're welcome.
Copyright Elihu Genmio Smith.